This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And he is a great friend of the program who joins us each and every Tuesday at about this time on the Buyers Barricades Hotline.
Are we sure it's DA?
Why? What is it? What it be, Mac, put this time?
The phone says it's someone who, quote, never committed defensive pass interference. Fact.
Who? Well, I don't think, you're probably right about that. No, I would bet, hey, DA, were you a two-way player in high school or in Pop Warner?
You bet your sweet bald head I was a two-way player. I didn't come off the field.
What did you play on defense? Were you a safety or a corner?
I was, depending if they were any good. If they were good, I played corner. If not, I played safety.
Okay, gotcha.
Mean by any good, meaning if they had a good receiver.
Right. Did you ever commit defensive pass interference?
I never was covered, and I was never called for any pass interference. If so, it was someone else that made a mistake for me.
There you go. What do you think about all this, DA?
Saints Rams. Yeah. I want to read the lawsuit from those people in New Orleans, because if I'm really hoping that they all wrote them off after a night of binge drinking, as they would probably be doing in New Orleans. Complaining about losing.
We hope that it's written exactly how they would say it.
Yeah,
verbally.
Like six hurricanes deep,
right.
Talking about what should be going on in the NFL.
Yes.
It's hilarious. So,
fluent, drunk Cajun. Where do you come out on this whole argument about trying to remedy something like this in the future? Are you a moral replay guy? Go ahead.
No way. Because the problem is, and we see this with the catch rule, where do you put the line in the sand, right? Like, everyone wants to create a rule when there's an obvious issue. But how do you write that rule? And have it make sense. Like, oh, if there's a questionable call, we'll look at it. Like, what does that even mean? How would you decide between looking at that besides looking at almost like a meaningless one that is a subjective 50-50 call? Like, that was pretty obvious, and they missed one. But you can't rewrite the rule book on a call that was missed.
Yeah. Obviously, look, if it's something where the coaches still control the challenges, then it's up to the coaches to challenge it. To me, the interesting thing would be if you keep the rule that any review in the last 2 minutes of the half of the game needs to come down from the booth, because there would be all sorts of controversy over every single play, quite honestly, because there's holding on every play. There's illegal contact on a lot of plays. Illegal men downfield.
Exactly.
I mean, there's so many things to have to monitor. I think it does, especially if it's in the control of people up in the booth. I'm with you, DA. I think it opens up a huge Pandora's box. Rich, I know you feel differently about that.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. My goal is to get it right, and I don't even have a perfect solution to this problem, but I wish they would take some action to avoid what happened on Sunday. That's all.
Do something. Anything.
Hey, DA, you're in L.A.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that call.
Of course not.
It was unfortunate,
but
you know what? Them's the breaks, and I've seen worse calls than the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So I don't have any issue with it.
This is true. The city of Los Angeles has not had a team in the Super Bowl since the 83 Raiders. The L.A. Rams have not been to the Super Bowl since the days of Vince Ferragamo in 1979. So this monumental breakthrough for the city where cars burned and overturned, where storefront windows smashed, was there just rioting in the streets among the L.A. fandom?
I think I heard a couple golf claps out there. Not much. A couple honks.
Yeah, a couple
extra hats. Not a lot. Not a lot is going to change. You know what? I actually asked my father-in-law because he works downtown. I said, if the L.A. Rams win, do you think they're going to have a parade? And where does it go? Where does it stop and start? Right. This is obviously not like when the Chicago Blackhawks won, and it was like 48 city blocks filled with people. It's not New England where they'll all go out there and they're going to smash beers on their heads. and they're all taking work off Thursday. Like, people in Los Angeles are going to be like, oh, no, so you want me to celebrate on a Thursday? Can you do it on a Saturday around like 10? And can we do it close? I don't want to go on the other side of the 405. I have no idea where they would do it and how they would do it and how long it would be if they chose to do a parade. It's almost like they should just host an event at a park or something, and I think that maybe more people would show up. But,
like a gigantic
exactly
cookout.
Sure.
Like hot dogs and burgers.
That's probably more up the LA speed.
Okay.
But not hot dogs and burgers. Come on. It's kale smoothies. And,
no,
and
sushi. Yeah, kale.
Yeah, sushi.
Right. Well, that's why, now that I think about it, that's why I'm really bummed we were deprived of the Chargers winning a Super Bowl. Like, would there D.A., I know you're being tongue-in-cheek about the parade. Maybe you're not. About the parade.
I don't know the answer.
About the parade for the Rams. Honestly, would there even be a parade? Would the parade be in Los Angeles for the Chargers, or would they have to do it in San Diego, where most of their fans are?
I think they'd do it in Orange County.
Right in between.
Yeah, right in between. I don't know. This is real L.A. problems, but I'm pretty sure everyone in Houston's really excited.
No, it's fascinating to think of. It's fascinating.
All because some ref wouldn't throw a flag, but two guys staring at the play.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, here's what people want to talk about is, A, that they should have never gotten in that situation, right? To bury the ball at Michael Thomas's feet with a minute 58 was stupid. They should have ran the clock all the way down and kicked a field goal and won the game.
Sure.
That's what should happen. Second of all, the pass, the corner was in, you know, crap mode, and so he sprinted to just hit the guy because he didn't want to give up a touchdown. Had he looked, that pass could have been intercepted and took him back for six, and the game would have been over in that scenario. So, like, it's just, in my opinion, it's people are blaming a bad football play on bad calling, and opposed to like a really good call on an unfortunate call, a really good play call and a really unfortunate call by the ref. It was the opposite. It was a bad play. It was a bad pass, and it was a bad call, and so it was like kind of moot at that point. Is it's just like, well. What else? What was the context of what we're missing about that scenario? And I think people aren't looking too far past that.
It was a bad sequence, like you just said. Like, the guy getting bailed out here is Sean Payton, in my mind. Because he completely botched it by not doing what you just said, D.A. Run three plays, make them use their timeouts, and give them the ball back with 40 seconds left and no timeouts to try to tie the game.
And, it's not like Mark Ingram has been carving them up for like 7 yards apiece for that the drive before that. And they have, if not Mark Ingram, they have one of the next best backs in the NFL, and Kamara ready to take a handoff. So, like, you're right, I don't get it. And the Saints fans should also be really disappointed the fact that they got in the red zone four times in the first quarter and came away with, 9 points or something? Or 13 points?
There are definitely football reasons also why the Saints lost that game. It's just everybody's focused on that non-call. Would you fire the two officials who had a bird's eye view of what clearly was pass interference?
I'm sorry, guess again?
Would you fire them?
The officials?
Yeah.
I
feel like they need to be disciplined in some way.
I don't know. I don't even know how do they discipline them. Do they just like fine them a game check?
I don't know if they fine them. I don't know if they suspend them. I mean, this is as bad.
Maybe they make them have a float at the New Orleans parade, and they say these are the guys, and everyone throws tomatoes at them.
Yeah, well, they'd need bulletproof glass and Secret Service.
That would be awesome.
I think I'm going to be that ref for Halloween.
That would be tremendous. That would be like when Michael Scott made Dwight Schrute pick up his dry cleaning for a year as a punishment. That's what they should have to do.
Look, every year in the playoffs, we talk about officiating mistakes and how they've impacted the outcomes of these games. I don't know if there's one that's ever been worse than this.
Yeah, okay. So the thing is, that's part of the game, right? And like for every good one, how technology is good and helping the game, there's, you know, bad ones and can be used in the wrong way. For instance, that Julian Edelman must punt, mystical must punt where he didn't, in real time, there's not a person in the stands, not a New England, not a Chiefs fan that didn't think that 100% hit him. I was the only thing that looked awkward to me is he didn't. Someone that is guilty, that someone that has muffed a punt before, you immediately think, "Oh crap, I got to get the ball." So your reaction is not to do nothing. Only someone that didn't touch the ball knows that they just don't do anything because video will show. And that's what Edelman did do is he was just standing there like, I tried to hit it, but I tried to grab it, but I didn't touch it. It looked 100% like it hit him. Not until you had 17 camera angles could you, basically acquit Edelman of touching it. So, like, that was a great review. That really did a good job. But had those camera angles not been there, that would have been Kansas City ball in the 20. So, like, I agree. Like, yes, there are calls that are getting fixed. I just don't think pass interference is one of them that needs to get fixed. It needs to be – they can monitor a little closer in instances like that. They can make sure it's not some guy just, like, head-hunting. In my opinion, refs need to do a better job of understanding the context of players and that it was obvious that DB was in oh crap mode and was trying to melee the receiver in order to stop a touchdown. So the intent almost made him look guilty right off the bat, and you throw the flag in that instance. And you can also delay the flag like a lot of times they do in the NBA where they don't blow the whistle until if the guy misses the layup or something,
yep.
Right? Like, there are times you can do that, and I think refs are going to get better and better at that, which is why I don't think you just need to review everything, because then the refs are encouraged to just keep the flag in their pocket, and they're like, it's going to be reviewed anyway. Why should I throw a flag?
David Anderson joining us for his weekly visit. DA, I feel like these two games were a referendum on certain aspects of the rule book. We've talked about that Saints-Rams game. Where are you on overtime in the NFL, which obviously is a topic because Tom Brady is very selfish and doesn't like to give the ball to the other team when he gets it first in overtime?
I think we should do like 5 minutes and then maybe go to like the sudden death thing. Not a big fan of like the whoever gets the ball first. Maybe 4 minutes, because in the NFL you practice basically a 4-minute drive. So if you get the ball first, there is an advantage. And then if you can methodically march down the field, eat up the entire clock and kick a field goal, you can win. But like, there's going to be pluses and minuses to either, but I would rather see like, 4 to 5 minutes of gameplay added on instead of kind of just a weird scenario, which really doesn't exist anywhere in the NFL where it's kind of like a sudden death type thing.
Yeah, and it's open-ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how much better in this postseason do you think Wade Phillips' defense has gotten with Sue and Fowler stepping up like they have? And let's face it, in the past, Wade has not fared well against Bill Belichick in big games.
He did in 2015 in the AFC title game.
He did, but there have also been some bad moments.
Yeah, I think the thing that Wade does better than anyone else, he keeps it simple and he lets his best players just play recklessly. And Sue has been, let's say, overshadowed by Donald to a large degree, but is still an amazing player. And Donald was obviously just still very disruptive in that NFC Championship game. So I think I'm excited to see what Wade can do because, unlike the Chiefs, I think they can take a little more advantage of being more athletic than the Patriots are. The Rams are 100% more athletic than the Patriots are. Can they scheme it up to take more advantage of their athleticism? That's something that the Patriots have always done a great job of taking away from other teams is their best athletes and their athleticism. But in my opinion, the Rams do a great job of misdirection. They use their speed on motions. They use their speed downfield. They use their speed upfield with their defensive line, and their corners get away with some pretty brutal pass interference.
Are you going to be in Atlanta, DA?
Oh, you know I'm going to be there. Radio Row, ready to talk about Beth Sean. You don't have to ask us question.
It's on.
I think I'm putting 25 prop bets down this year.
Okay,
I'm going to find my top 25, and I'm gonna even tell. Am I allowed to tell everyone how much? Like, I think I'm going to put like probably 20 bucks on 25 prop bets.
Okay, you need to come in next Tuesday and go through with us which prop bet you need to give. Maybe not all 25, but like your five best.
Oh, wait, no, because I'm flying to Atlanta Wednesday. Can we move our hit to Wednesday or Thursday?
Of course. Yeah, Naps, we can do we can do whatever we want. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, yeah. We don't even need
radio.
A reason. It's radio, baby.
It's radio.
Yeah. So we'll figure out a time. But yeah, let's do it live next week on Radio Row. Have you looked at the prop bets yet? They have the fun ones out, like the national anthem and you know the Gatorade color.
I'm not too into those ones. I want to see over unders on passing yards. I'm hoping to get some on penalties. I'd like to get some. I'm definitely betting the coin toss. That just seems like a stupid bet that everyone needs to bet.
No, that's super degenerate. Yeah.
Because it warms you up, though. You know what I mean? It warms you up for the game. You win the heads or the tails, you feel like, oh, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one to get going on.
Yeah.
I wish they should do that in every game, in my opinion.
Let you bet on the coin toss in every single game?
Yeah, every single game bet on the coin toss.
DA, my guess is if you were out somewhere, you could probably find a fellow degenerate just to do it. You don't have to pay the juice.
-1 or 2 on the coin toss?
Yeah, man, why pay that extra 2 cents? Hey, man, call me. I'll bet you on the coin toss of every game. Then we don't have to pay
every
a bookie.
Game? Right.
Every game,
I'll
you and I are going to...
Hey, if you any listeners out there, ask David Anthony, I will... How about we could pick 5 callers prop bets, too, is what we should do.
Okay, and now we're kind of veering towards something that may or may not be illegal interstate commerce.
If we're going to all be in the state of Atlanta and Georgia, so okay. They don't even care.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't even
have law enforcement there.
It's not
a bunch of animals.
California. They don't care.
Well, cool, man. So you're getting in Wednesday?
I get in Wednesday. I'm going to do our show. I'm going to try to do our show on Radio Row.
Okay.
And then I'm going to jump on hopefully your guys' show Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, we'll do it Thursday or Friday. Cool. What's going on your show tomorrow?
Making a comeback, I think, is where we're going to go with this. And the players that have kind of made a comeback this playoff, as well as the Texans, how can they make a comeback, as well as the other teams in Houston, the Rockets. We've got a couple players that are making a comeback. How do you handle that situation? And then just kind of in sports in general, what happens when you're down and out? Seems like, maybe J.J. Watt might be up for comeback player of the year. So might be something that really hits home with a lot of people.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, the Average Sports Show, you can catch it on Wednesday nights here on Sports Radio 610. That is former Texans wide receiver David Anderson. D.A., we'll catch up next week. We'll see you in Atlanta, bud.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. David Anderson joining us for his weekly visit. I'm looking forward to that.
No doubt.
Top 5 DA prop bets. He's very underrated.
No idea he's such a degenerate.
He's very underrated from a degenerate standpoint, especially as former players go. He enjoys wagering because he's smart about it. It's a cerebral thing to him. I think it's good brain exercise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Also, it's fun making money.
Well, if you make money, yes.
We're making money hand over fist, me and DA, doing this stuff. Yep. All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.